Here's the latest from the Party Town Streaming Network for January 29th, 2003. A lone media activist courageously confronted throngs of corporate media encamped outside of Lacey and Scott Peterson's home Wednesday in Modesto, California. The Lacey Peterson case has been one of the lead stories of the corporate media since December 24th, when she was reported missing. While people go missing under suspicious circumstances every day in the United States, this story has captivated the public and is feeding the ravenous pack of corporate media hyenas. The brave activist, known as the Last DJ, was compelled to reclaim the airwaves by interrupting live radio and television broadcasts in front of the Peterson home. Radio station KFI, owned by Clear Channel and based out of Los Angeles, had been broadcasting live, verbally harassing the neighborhood and Mr. Peterson with a bullhorn on the air.
Nobody believes you. We're not saying you did it, we're saying nobody believes you.
The activist was engaged by two of the KFI talk show hosts and questioned about the sign he carried and why he was there protesting. The Last DJ expressed his disappointment in the way media exploits tragedy for profit and personal gain. He confronted the show's hosts about their company's practices and expressed his outrage over consolidation of the radio industry.
Who are these people? Let me see. Enemies of free speech.
You've got pictures of
Eddie Fritz, the director of NAB, that's the National Association of Broadcasters. Lowry Mays, the CEO of Clear Channel, that's our supreme boss. That's good. Steve Hicks.
Mays, the telecom. Michael Powell II, the chairman of the FCC.
Oh, that's Colin Powell's son. Enemies of free speech. I don't trust the corporate media. Don't trust the corporate media.
Why
do you guys stand in the desk? How does it serve Los Angeles?
News.
This is tragedy. It's not news.
Another keeper of the journalistic news.
The large sign he carried featured life-size headshots of Eddie Fritz, chairman of the National Association of Broadcasters, Lowry Mays, CEO of Clear Channel, Steve Hicks, whose Capstar Broadcasting merged with Clear Channel and whose brother is on the board of directors, and finally Michael Powell, chairman of the Federal Communications Commission and son of General Colin Powell. Bordering the pictures was Enemies of Free Speech in 12-inch tall letters. On the reverse side of the sign were two blue bumper stickers with the slogans, I don't trust the corporate media, and don't trust the corporate media, courtesy of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, a media watchdog organization.
World War II is a tragedy. That wasn't news?
World War II was a tragedy, yes.
Okay. So some tragedies are news.
On the scale of World War II, there's a war going on right now. Maybe you guys haven't heard.
A World War that's bombed for 10 years and left it on our backs.
You're another person who wants to pick and choose what people are interested in.
Is that it?
And what people should want to hear about on the news. That's
why is it? Why is it? Because Clear Channel is a big greedy corporation that has illegitimate control of 1,200 radio stations.
Illegitimate control?
I think they paid money for it.
Let me guess. What was your last job? Were you laid off by some radio station? Is that your problem?
We work for
you. Who are you?
Wait a second. Hold up.
I knew he did work for me.
It caused a holocaust in the radio industry.
I knew it.
Well, we work for Clear Channel. We're quite happy. The biggest Clear Channel station in the nation. You probably make a living wage. The rest of us don't. What did you used to do?
Yeah, what's your job?
She's engineer. Well, we just met the engineer. Qualified than you guys.
So I'm a Modesto station made you work?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And you can't get it. Six radio stations into one building. It was a big problem. Where is it written in the computers running our radio station and right-wing talk show coming in off the satellite and off the profit system to replace people in town? We have a rock station in town. There's only one employee, one DJ.
Well, if it doesn't make money in its sales, then hell with them, right?
When you own six radio stations, they don't have to all make money or make sense.
Well, you have to make money for stockholders.
Yeah,
great. So, sir.
Got to make a profit. Maybe you guys should check the Arbitron.
Have to make money in the end.
I don't know. Why don't you just go get another engineering job instead of holding this goofy site?
Because one company owns 1,200 radio stations.
Well, more. Go somewhere else.
There's radio stations.
There's more than 10,000.
They're record producers. They pay.
Well,
I know for a fact.
The interaction with the radio show allowed the activists to get some airtime, exposing a large audience to the truths about media consolidation. As the live on-air confrontation began to escalate, it was evident that the radio hosts were reaching for responses as they began to verbally assault the activists live on the air. The hosts continued to stoop to the level of personal attacks and derogatory name-calling.
That security guard we ran into at the Condit office.
We have another cheeseburger.
Look at some of the stuff. Oh, behind the live shot.
Behind the live shot, one of the local TV.
Oh, that'd be great, yeah.
Maybe.
What a fat loser.
The activist then turned his attention to a much larger audience, as CNN was live on location doing the Larry King live show. Opportunity presented itself for a quick flash of the sign before being confronted by a CNN staffer. The activist was then threatened with bodily harm if he got in the shot again. This threat was made while on public property in a community that the activist lives in and serves. Since the CNN segment was live for the East Coast, there was a replay to monitor happenings of the live confrontation earlier that evening. The segment caught a glimpse of the protest sign behind the local reporter. You could hear sounds of free speech escalate in the background of the live audio feed. Mr. King asked the reporter, "What was the noise going on in the background?" The reporter, Ted Rowland from KTVU Channel 2 out of San Francisco, responded stating, "It was a local Modestan upset at the press for capitalizing on this tragedy." He then commented incorrectly, quipping sarcastically that there were pictures of Gary Condit and Scott Peterson on the sign.
How did he describe his affair to you, Ted?
He said he wanted to address it right away, and he said that it was inappropriate, it was the word he used, and he was apologetic. He said he owed a lot of people an apology, specifically Lacey's family. He said even Amber's family, he needs to give them an apology as well, but he didn't get too deep into it.
That noise behind you, what are those people saying?
This is a local Modestan with a sign who's upset with the press for capitalizing on tragedy. I guess he's got a sign. I think Gary Condit's on there and Scott Peterson.
The Telecommunications Act of 96.
Nancy Grace, do you have a question for Ted Rowlands?
You could then hear the activist shouting about the real story being the Telecommunications Act of 1996 and that this wasn't news, that there is a war on.
And it raised a lot of eyebrows at that point. And I tried to clarify it with him, and he said he didn't want to talk about that and that he shouldn't have been talking about it in that interview. And I know that ABC today reported that Modesto police said that was incorrect.
His lawyer is probably jumping him.
The activist then departed the area unscathed and with a strong message sent. He encourages others to seize the opportunity to reclaim the airwaves and confront the corporate media.
We'll be back with more in a minute. We'll be taking your calls at the bottom of the hour, and we'll try to see what we can do about some belligerent guy out there in front of that house. Don't go away.
I'm the token white chick reporting for the Party Town Streaming Network.